the appointed readings from Genesis during this time of year take us through the events of the great flood and Noah providing for his family in the ark and being protected by God. And those of us who have had just enough Bible and theological education to be dangerous know that there is a Babylonian flood story myth that is very similar to Noah and the ark, and there is dispute among biblical scholars that the flood happened exactly as described in Scripture or not, and as we know, those are interesting arguments for people to engage in, and certainly beneficial on some level, but the fundamental lessons of the stories of the Old Testament, whether they happened exactly as written, the fundamental lessons outweigh whether or not the Old Testament, every event literally happened exactly as it was put down on paper. And of course, the reason that it may not be exactly as it happened as described in the Old Testament, the events of the Old Testament, is because the Old Testament was not written as a history book. It is a book to teach people how to follow God and to teach people about God providing for them. It's a much different set of circumstances, which is not to say that everything in the Old Testament is somehow made up, but we need to put it in the proper perspective. Also knowing that by the time things were written down in the Old Testament, they'd been told orally for generations. So you can see how there may have been some embellishment or distortion along the way. Nevertheless, I want to start by reading from Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, and then reading into verse 8. You've been covering these readings in the daily readings that are appointed by the church. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons, with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the cattle according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every bird of every sort. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And they that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily upon the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them in 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, birds, cattle, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm upon the earth, and every man. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the air. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him in the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put forth his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth, a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. And God said to Noah, "Go forth from the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring forth with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth." So Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, and everything that moves upon the earth went forth by families out of the ark. This reading falling during this particular time in the history of humanity is providential. Noah did not know how long the flood would last, how long the earth would be covered with water when he entered into the ark. And even after the rains have subsided, even after the water had begun to recede, even after the ark had come to rest on Mount Ararat, Noah still did not know how long he would have to be in the ark. And that's so similar with our situation today, because as we face the threat of the coronavirus, we have no idea how long we will need to remain isolated and sheltered, physically isolated at least. We do not have to remain completely isolated. Noah listened to God. He trusted in God. He followed God's instructions. Noah also, I'm sure, did his part. I can't imagine how much work there was on the ark, tending to the animals, making sure that the ark remained watertight, making sure that everyone was fed and comforted. They did their work, but ultimately they had to trust in God. And this is exactly what we are all doing as citizens of the world, as citizens of the United States, and as members of this parish. We are aboard an ark of sorts, and we have to adapt to this new life. And we know that the life won't last forever, but we need to keep constantly changing and improvising, just as I'm sure Noah and his family had to do aboard the ark, figuring things out, making changes, doing the things necessary so that the water they had with them would remain drinkable, so that they could capture new rainwater, so that they could keep their food stores from going bad. It's none of that is in the Bible, but we can only assume that that's how Noah made it on the ark along with his family. Last night, we had another video meeting of the parish council and a couple of extra people whom we've asked to be part of the leadership team during this time of crisis. It was a two-hour meeting, and we intend to meet at least weekly to make sure that we are taking care of the parish. And as we continue to adapt our life to reality of being on this metaphorical ark of ours, I wanted to share with you some of the things that we talked about. First of all, we emphasized the importance of using the internet to stay connected with your friends, with the church. We will do everything in our part to use this wonderful piece of technology to keep us growing in our faith, to keep us as close to one another as we can be. Now, if you know someone that doesn't have a smartphone or a computer, try to get one in their hands. A lot of us have extra computers laying around the house. Get it to them, see if you can help them get their internet subscription going. People that don't have smartphones, they can order one from a cell phone provider. It'll be mailed to them, and they can get it turned on, and they can use their phone with a data plan. Every one of us that uses smartphones and computers knows how this works, but there are people in the parish that don't know how that works. And if you know anyone that somehow is so disconnected that they have no friends, relatives, or the means to get either a computer or a smartphone, please contact me as soon as possible so that we can work with those people to keep them connected. By the way, just parenthetically, as I mentioned before the service began this morning, someone went to our website and created a false email in my name and has been using it as part of a phishing scheme. So if you receive any email from me that asks for a gift card, you know that that's a phishing scheme. Please just mark it as spam. And that's true during these times. I'm sure there'll be lots of cyber criminals who will want to exploit the internet, and in our desperation and our desire to take care of one another, get us to click on a link or open an attachment that will not be good for our computer. So be very careful. If you receive an email from someone that you know and you think it's bogus, call that person up or text that person or email them on their real email and find out. So how do we want to use the internet? How will we use the internet during the coming weeks? We want to start having some other types of classes and meetings on the internet, and we've talked about a couple of ideas, at least one kind of more related to homemaking and cooking, and another one related to our psychological health. And as we get those ready to roll out in the next week or so, probably in the next 2 weeks, we will tell you about them. Already yesterday, our Sunday school director sent out an email to the parents of Sunday school children with the lesson that would have been used this Sunday, and it was also resent on the entire parish listserv. We talked last night as a parish council about having some online youth meetings, and when those have been organized, we'll let you know. We have been doing the Monday evening Introduction to Orthodoxy Catechism classes. The last one is the week before Holy Week. We will go through Holy Week together, either virtually or in person. God grant it would be in person, but I do not have great hope in that right now. But then after Holy Week, we'll continue meeting on Monday nights to have a teaching with regard to some aspect of the faith, and also a discussion. That is a format that I hope to also begin expanding right now in the next week or so during the day and other evenings. So we can have lots of opportunities to check in with each other, to discuss something related to the faith, and to pray together. We meet Tuesday evenings for our small group Bible study, Faith and Fellowship. And again, the last scheduled meeting is the Tuesday before Holy Week. And we would hope after Holy Week to resume that in some fashion. And again, as that becomes more fixed and greater detail emerges, we'll share that with you. And we will continue to also do services as we're doing today from our physical ark, from our church. I feel good being up here praying, and I can only imagine that people who are watching this on the live stream and see the familiar surroundings feel good as well. One day, a metaphorical dove will be sent out by us, and it will return with an olive branch, and we'll know that it's time to emerge from the ark and get on with our lives. Now, those of us who know the Old Testament know that there's kind of a rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would have said. There's a rest of the story with Noah, and that is after he got out of the ark, after everything they'd been through, after all of his experiences, he and his family backslid into sin and humanity. Even after the experience of the flood, humanity continued to descend into sin. And we know that in spite of the giving of the law, in spite of the prophets, mankind still could not get out of its own way. Which is, of course, is why God had to send his only begotten Son to become one of us, to be crucified for our sins, to rise from the dead. That is the only way for humanity to escape from the awful stain of original sin. Those of us who are listening today to this live stream and to these words, well, we are part of the people who have joined ourselves to this Savior, to Jesus Christ, and we have committed our lives to him. If we can stay strong in this ark that has been created for us, then when this crisis is over, we will emerge not just as an intact parish, but a parish that is stronger and even more focused on what it is we are to be doing as the body of Christ. Until then, we need to keep the hatches closed and weather the storm until one day in the future we come to rest on our own Mount Ararat. God bless you. And if you can tune in tonight, we will chant the salutations to the Mother of God at 7 p.m.